Hi, folks. Steve Urban here, host of the Riderflex podcast and founder and CEO of our day job recruiting firm, Riderflex. We hope you enjoy this episode. And as a reminder, please subscribe to the podcast for updates and news. Finally, if you haven't already, check out the series of books we've published on hiring, interviewing, and overall career advice titled The Riderflex Guide, available on Amazon. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Most homeowners don't have the time or expertise to properly take care of their home, which causes costly issues to arise. That's where Kura Home Maintenance comes in. We're a full-service, routine maintenance company that was developed by a certified home inspector. Each quarter, we service our clients' homes following manufacturers' recommendations to properly maintain all the necessary appliances. We provide the materials and expertise to prolong the life of your property, creating a healthy and efficient environment for your family. From top to bottom, we'll maintain and service your home. To get started, we have a property inspection to determine what needs to be maintained, and a maintenance plan is created based on your preferences. From refrigerator coils to filters, vents, and drains, we do it all, and we do it well. Contact us today for your free routine maintenance inspection. And never worry about your maintenance again.
We have a lot of similarities. You know, we both like to, we enjoy the family, we enjoy the outdoors, but we also got a lot going on from an entrepreneurial perspective and podcasts, right? We both, very similar.
It's not a bad path, is it?
Mm-hmm. No, it's good. How have you been? Tell me. What is going on with Kevin personally first? Let's catch up. How's the family? What's going on with you?
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that. So, you know, been married, I think, coming up, let's see, what are we at? 14 years?
14,
I think,
okay.
In June.
Okay, all right.
And we have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. So that's, my daughter's 10. My son is 12. He'll be 13. In June as well. So we got two dogs, got a puppy and a cat, and everything's going good there. We're actually getting ready to, me and my wife are going on a trip for her work in the Palm Beach, and we just booked a trip for the kids down to the Bahamas in June after they got out of school.
Cool.
And of course we'll do a lot of other like camping or boating and things like that.
I see the boat because we're tagged on Facebook. I know you got the boat for sure. Is that, where do you go boating? What's your favorite spots?
Yeah, so I used to get the boat at my house, and then I would trailer it to wherever around I'd want to go within reason. But now I keep it at a place they literally put the boat up the forklift and put it in a dry storage, and they pull it out whenever you show up. You have like a membership card, like, put my boat in the water and then you just step on it and go, and then they put it back. Pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
But that also limits me to where I go, because I got to go from that space. So, but here in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I live, there's tons of bays and waterways and the ocean, Chesapeake Bay. There's interior like bays as well. So you can kind of go all over the place, and there's lots of restaurants or fishing.
Okay.
You name it. Sandbars to pull up to. So,
gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
All the above.
Are you guys, do you fish a lot, or is it more recreational with just the boating and having fun, or both?
I mean, I do like fishing. I've been doing more fishing, and so I'm trying to do more of that, but traditionally it's the weekend. I worked all week, and I want to just sit on the boat or go pull up somewhere and do nothing. So grill out. I just got like a new grill for the boat that gets in the back. And
cool. All right.
So, you know, just kind of relax and pull the kids around the tube, or there's some cool spots where there's like some rope swings, like off the woods and stuff like that. So
yeah, gotcha.
I typically am doing more recreation, although it is an offshore fishing boat, and I'm hopefully this year going to be dabbling on more into that. So
okay. Now you're 12-year-old. Now that's an interesting age, right? How are we hitting puberty? Are we like, oh, dad, I know everything now. Well, you know, because once they're 13, they know everything.
Oh yeah. I mean, I knew everything too. I mean, it's going okay. He's not quite, I don't think, crossed that line yet, but he's definitely he'll be taller than me for sure.
Oh, okay.
Which I hope he will be. I'm only 5'8", but yeah, we're on that fine line. So he still likes to he's all into like World War II and stuff. So he's got like, you know, he likes all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So he hasn't... as soon as he gets the puberty mark, I think he'll forget about most of that stuff.
Does he have some hair under his arms yet, or what's he? You got some signs? No, it's almost. You're right there. You're at the.
We're on the cusp. Yeah, we're on the cusp.
You haven't found any magazines in his bedroom or anything? Any Sports Illustrated swimsuit issues in the bedroom or anything?
Not yet. But again, we're right there, so I don't know how to deal with any of that stuff yet.
It'll
and
be fun.
I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, like 13 to 19 is not necessarily the most fun. I think the golden age is, in my opinion, is from let's call it 5 to 11. Okay, that 5-6 year period right in there, right? Where,
yeah.
You know, that's a really good spot. You know, they can kind of take care of themselves a little bit. They can get dressed. They can get their own food.
They still want mom and dad.
Yeah, they still want to hug on you, still telling you, I love you, dad, and giving you the hugs and all this stuff, right? Yeah. And then the teenage years come, and, you know.
No, my daughter's 10, and yeah, I think she's closer to a teenager at this point than he is. But
is that right? Now, were you a rebel yourself? Were you a good kid, or what type of teenager were you?
Oh man! All right. I was in between. So yeah, I was always pretty good, and for the most part, and I was definitely never like real, you know, like a bad kid or anything like that. But I would say as a teenager, I was definitely, I did a lot of things. I probably should have a lot in trouble if I got caught. But I was always kind of like flight on the radar kind of, you know, but I hung out with the nerdy kids and all the way to like the most popular kids. So I kind of just was always relationships with all of them. Right. But again, I would go do dumb things with people and stuff like that. Just didn't get caught for most of it. So, you know, I probably appeared more innocent than I was, but
no arrests. You never were arrested for anything. Oh, you paused. That's
no,
it. You already gave
no.
me the answer to that pause.
I was almost, but the cops knew my dad, and I didn't get arrested for something one time. So I was threatened with it once, but yeah.
You want to confess what it was? You want to tell us now? Just tell the audience.
Oh. But, it was, well, I'm from a really small hometown, right? So everyone knows everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was going really fast, like, way over the speed limit, reckless driving, and then had some beers in our car. So
Ooh. Oh,
I literally dished the cops, went, pulled down a side road, and they went right past. Of course, then they came back and we were, yeah. But yeah, it could have been, you know, it could have been a big deal, obviously.
What's your son's name?
I think I'd rather have gone to jail than calling my dad though. So
oh really? Oh, was he? Oh, okay. He wasn't happy.
Oh no, but I got out of it kind of for them knowing him, but
yeah, I hear it.
But like, we're calling your dad and I was like, oh shit, take me away, you know. Take me now.
How's your dad doing? Is he still doing the woodworking and stuff? I think or the he makes
decoys. Yeah.
Decoys. Ducks. Yeah, right.
Ducks,
yeah,
birds.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he
yeah,
still
I'm glad you remember that.
Yeah, is he still working or is he kind of retired or what's he doing?
So he retired. He actually worked at NASA over here we have a NASA Rocket Center where they do launches.
Yeah.
My grandfather retired from there. My dad was a contractor, civilian contractor for the Navy there. He retired from that, and now he went back to doing decoys as
cool
when he wants. You know, he has got to keep himself busy, I guess. So yeah, he's doing it right now, and just not like he used to. He used to do it full time as his only business. Then he went and got a job for like the last 20 years, contracting, just so you could have, I guess, some retirement and healthcare and stuff like that.
I see. So, yeah. And how about your mom? How's she doing?
She's doing fine. She doesn't work. My stepdad works. So my parents were divorced when I was younger. Yeah. Both remarried and both had kids again. So I have an older brother, and then I have a half brother and a half sister that are young, like 22, 23. So
have you ever done the, have you ever sent in your DNA to one of those things, the whatever they are, the ancestry or whatever? Have you done that?
Yeah, I did that actually not too long ago. My mom actually got me like the, you buy like the kit to send to somebody as a gift, right, and then you do the thing. Yeah, I did that. I did that recently. And
any interesting results?
I mean, I'm European, like Northern European, English, Scottish, a little Irish. Seemed kind of typical, I guess.
Well, I was referring more to any lines from grandpa or great grandpa that kind of go sideways over here with like a kid that,
it didn't really get that granular. I can see who else has done the ancestry, and like I know some of them where I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
I got you.
But it doesn't like go as far to show me like my exact relatives. Maybe you can dig in. You probably have to pay more to dig in more. Okay. And I haven't done that. So now I know that my uncle, on my mom's side, my mama's brother, he had done some work 30 years ago, 20 years ago, to like build out a real family tree.
Yeah.
He researched a ton of stuff. I have not seen that myself. I've just heard him tell me certain things, but that would be interesting to get with him on that, because he did the actual, this is before the internet, probably he was working on this.
Well, I had some interesting results from that. I had it just a few weeks ago. Matter of fact, another lady called me from Florida. Hey, I'm your half sister. Now that's happened a few times, by the way, just so you know, because my biological father, father's not even the right word, but the biological guy, right? He was a traveling salesman.
Sounds like he was successful.
Yeah, there's a few of us out there. Matter of fact,
he was good at his job.
There's five. I think there's five. There's five that we know of right now, all different women, and my mom being one of them.
You might expect a couple more calls.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Exactly. Because you only know if they've, you know, somehow put their DNA in the system, right? So you don't really know, but.
Sure. Yeah. That's anyway. A good way to check, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see anything like close. Like I didn't even see like my direct family probably hasn't even done it, but I know that through my uncle's research that Martha Washington is in our family tree.
Cool. So,
there you go.
How's She's business, man? Tell me what's going on with the business and the podcast. Let's talk about Array Digital first. For the listeners, now you've been on the show before. By the way, I just noticed, I got to have my wife's going to work on fixing this. The first full-length interview we did, the YouTube version, the video version is messed up. Something's wrong with the visuals on it. I got to fix that. Anyway, but you've been on the show before, but for the listeners that may not have heard that episode, can you give us a elevator pitch on Array Digital real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. So Array Digital is my first and main company, and we do search marketing for law firms. So what that consists of, we build websites, we write copy, we do SEO, we do paid Google ads and local SEO. And that's when I say search for law firms. So law firms hire us to get them leads for people looking online for their service or longer that they're asking questions about situations they have. We want our clients to show up well and convert those into paying customers. So,
okay. Do you do anything outside of legal or no?
So Array Digital only does legal. So we want a very clear niche message. We only work with law firms.
Okay.
All sizes of law firms in different practice areas, but only law firms. So that my whole team knows and sleeps and breathes the same stuff.
Okay.
But I own two other agencies with my partner that have different niche focuses. Same services for the most part, different niche, so that we can be all in on our messaging, conferences, whatever we're going to be doing. So,
and by the way, for Array Digital, is the website thisisarray.com? Is that the website, or what's the URL?
Thisisarray.com, or we do have arraydigital.com as well that forwards to that.
Okay. What are the other services, the other businesses, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, well, I'll back up. Is what me and my partner kind of call it is our portfolio of companies.
There you go. Yeah.
Right. So Array Digital is on its own team, completely different. Now, the teams, right? They don't sit beside each other necessarily. We have a lot of remote staff, but we do have a corporate with some staff here. All the leadership, most part from those companies are here, but they're independent as far as the operational teams. And so we have Array Digital, Rival Digital, and Crush Digital. That's the three different companies. They're built on the same processes, systems, and concepts, but then they have their own niche, their own marketing, and they kind of grow organically themselves. So they each have a president that runs those companies. So even Array, like I'm the face of Array, but I don't run it. We have a president that does that. So within the three, I think we have over 40 employees full time.
Okay.
And in, 20 different states, I'm not even sure at this point.
What's the focus area or the sectors for Brush and Rival? Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. So Array Digital, law firms. Rival Digital, we started about 3 years ago. That is HVAC, plumbing and electrical companies.
Okay.
You can kind of start to, say just home services, but really it started as the HVAC and then plumbing and electrical. They're usually kind of combined anyway.
Okay.
And then Crush is health and wellness. So health and wellness could be chiropractors, stretch labs, healthy food or supplement stores, stuff like that. So, and all these are nationally focused. So we're not focused on any local geographic area.
Okay.
We're working with clients around the country.
Why those three? Why help? Why eight? Yeah. How did you, cause they're very different. How did you decide that? How'd that come about?
Well, niching is always going to be better than not niching just because you're focused. You're the expert if you niche. And then your marketing and who you're talking to, you can narrow down a list and you can speak directly to them. So we knew niching was important. And see, when I came on before, I probably wasn't niching anything. So Array Digital used to just work with all kinds of companies. So we knew we needed a niche, talking to experts, being part of masterminds, reading books. We just never did it. And so we know we needed to do it.
Okay.
We were just too scared to do it. And so when we started Rival Digital, it was a fresh new thing. We niched that from the get-go. And then when we saw the success happening quickly, we then niched Array Digital into law firms and started to shut down everything else. We still have non-law firm clients because we didn't fire them. We just don't market to them.
But how'd you pick HVAC? What, did you have a family member or a buddy that owned a business or something?
Well, so at Array, where we had lots of different clients, we already had a half a dozen HVAC clients.
Oh, I see.
We did well for them. We understood it. We liked the clients that we had. We liked the relationships with those kinds of clients.
Okay.
And so when I had a new HVAC prospect that came to me, and they're like, we want to work with you. 100%. We're in. Let's go. I said, hey, I'm about to start another company that only works with HVAC companies, and we're going to put all resources behind that. Would you sign with that company instead of this company. And
okay.
They're like, I don't care. Sure. And so I said, hey, can you give me a week or so? We got to figure this out. So we had to hire someone to run it, and we needed to sign a contract to have money to come in. So it was a very delicate process, but there was this guy, Eric Thomas, who now runs Rival. We were kind of mentoring him. My partner was mentoring him, and he was trying to start his own company. And so I said, hey, Eric, I have this. Well, I have two Erics, by the way. My partner's Eric, and my president of Rivals, Eric. Not to confuse everybody. So I said, hey, I got this client that wants to sign. And he's like, oh, I got this guy that wants to run his own company. And we said, oh, let's have a conversation here. So we met with Eric Thomas of Rival now and said, hey, what are you going to do for admin work? What are you going to do for books and collecting money and taxes and payroll? Yeah.
All the back office stuff. Yep.
And he was like, I don't know. I never thought about it. I don't know. I guess I'll have to figure it out. And we said, have we got a deal for you? We already have all that stuff figured out. We have a whole team. We have processes. We have everything. What if we started a company? You ran it. And we didn't even get the sentence out of our mouth. And he's like, I'm done. I'll quit my other job now. And so we said, all right, slow down. We need to go to sign this contract with this client.
Yeah, let's get that done.
So we got a name. I just designed a logo. We took our contract from Array Digital, copy paste, find and replace.
Yep.
Boom, sign. And that was about an $8,000 a month contract. And then we said, sign here. He signed. And then we went back to Eric and said, okay, here's your employment agreement. And then he signed.
Cool.
So
did you cut him in as a part, little piece of ownership or no?
So he's got profit sharing, which scales based on milestones.
All right.
And salary, benefits, all that stuff. Ownership will probably be a conversation just because Rival's probably on track for $4 million in revenue in a very short amount of time. And but he's doing pretty well. I think he's doing pretty well.
Are you running? Are you running all three as separate entities, separate LLCs, separate tax filings, or are they running up under one enterprise? Or how do you have it set up?
Yeah, good question. They're a little bit different because when we did Rival, we kind of did it in a vacuum and kind of secretively. So we set that up, and it's owned by my partner and me personally. Array Digital is owned by two LLCs, one that I own, one that he owns. And so it's like a pass-through, kind of like that. We did Rival kind of just real quick and kind of like didn't tell anybody. And so when we did Crush more like we did Array. So it's more of a partnership, I guess, actually.
Your tax accountant loves you.
We had to work through some different stuff. Yeah. They hate us right now. But they're all separate entities. If you want to get just basic with it,
okay. Yeah. But you're bleeding the leadership team, the core leadership executive team, bleeds over all three a little bit, and then you have employees at the lower rankings that are specific to each brand, basically.
Yeah. So there's no other than Eric, my partner, and me. There's no. We're the only ones that kind of have anything to do with all three, except our shared services now that we have. So we have our back office admin, we have our payroll financing admins, and all that processes.
Uh-huh.
Those work on all three. So there's a back office that works.
Are you running the back office services as a whole separate LLC too? That bills the bill or
no, but that is a potential.
Yeah.
Another service that we are considering.
Yeah, you could. I don't know what the tax benefits are there or how that works, but I don't know. It's worth the conversation.
Well, we also thought about we can sell that to other agencies that don't run well and they don't have a clue what they're doing.
Yeah.
That can put you out of business. So P&Ls, cash flow, you know, metrics, all that stuff that we do on a weekly basis. Most agencies never get to that point.
That's good, man. Congratulations on all three. Tell me about the podcast. You got one or two or how many? I can't keep up with you, man. What? First of all, tell me about the Managing Partners podcast that I see right behind you. Let's start with that one.
Yeah, so yeah, I had a personal podcast that I did for years with my partner. I think we had like 1,300 episodes, and they were
Wow.
every single day about 5 to 10 minute
I
episodes.
remember that. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, so we had 1,300 episodes. So we did that for a while, and it was just us talking about entrepreneurship. You
Okay.
know, here's this tip, here's that tip, real short,
Mm-hmm.
digestible. People liked it actually.
Yeah, cool.
So we've been podcasting for quite a long time. It's like 2018,
Yeah.
19. I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah. As long as me. I mean, I think we both started podcasting around the same time, I think. Yep. Yeah. Been a
Yeah,
while.
so this is I got three today, by the way. It's ridiculous. One with you and then two of my own with guests. So anyway, got comfortable with this easily, obviously.
Yeah.
And so when we started Array, when we niched Array, we were like, we need a way to get in front of people. And so I think we heard this from someone else for sure. I'm not sure who it was, but yeah, I interview guests that could be potential fit for my company.
Sure.
And so we started the Managing Partners podcast. So we really figured out, okay, well, who is our ideal client? Who do we want to speak to? And we want to make it very specific. And the managing partner at a law firm is either the owner or they manage the firm. They're the managing shareholder. And so we're like, that's the person we want.
I see.
And so we said, all right, let's start this podcast, and we're going to invite the managing partners of
I
firms
see. I
on
see.
the show to talk about their firm and their successes and all this good stuff. And we didn't really have much behind it other than that. It was very basic, and we're just like, let's invite people and we'll figure out the rest later. And that was a good decision. I think so many people try to perfect a podcast way before they even start recording.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people would go, yeah, I got all the stuff. I got a closet full of podcast crap. Never recorded one podcast. And we focused on the minimal viable product,
Yep.
and that we're going to be talking in the room, like just me and you right here, to our prospect. Don't forget about the recording or distribution of it. I'm talking to the prospect. You know what I mean? They now know who I am, and that was what we focused on.
Big time.
And then we figured out the rest later. So,
Okay. And all right, that's one of the podcasts, and that focuses on interviewing people in the legal. What else you got?
yeah, well, in this too, we have 300 guests on this show, and I'm now invited to like shows and conferences, and
Sweet, sweet,
I've had the
sweet.
most incredible attorneys here and people in the legal industry you can imagine. So right now
That's
it's like
cool. All
a
right.
top show, and it can do whatever it wants at this point.
That's
So,
great.
Rival, when we started Rival, we said, boom, you got to do the same thing. You know, so they interview HVAC experts, owners, and Rival before Array gets more leads from listeners than it does from its guests, right? People call in, hey, I want to hire you. I've listened to podcasts for last year. And Array, they do that now too. I got two new firms in the last month that were listeners, and I got three in the pipeline that are listeners. So
Great.
we're automatically at the top of the list, right?
Yep.
So with Rival, there's this called the Smart HVAC Marketing Podcast. And obviously they're talking about marketing and stuff like that. So, and then Crush doesn't have one at the moment, but it's in the works.
Okay.
But Crush was started at the end of 2023. So it's in its infancy at
Your
this point.
people, your team members, they probably think, well, yeah, well, Kevin, he just does podcasts. That's what he does. That's what your team probably thinks.
Well, yeah, so for like the Rival podcast, I don't host it. My president of Rival does.
Oh, I
For
see.
Crush, he'll host his own. I'm the face of Array and nothing else. Like I'm not mentioned on the websites. There's no, I
Okay.
don't try to muddy the waters. I get a take, distributions. If they do well, I do well. But I keep myself completely like out of
What's
mention
your
with it.
advice and tip around that for the listeners that might have two or three entities? What's your strategy there?
Well, you know, for one, we want those to organically grow by themselves, but be self-sufficient, right? You want any company that you run to run without you. Okay. And so Rival and Crush run without us completely. And so I focus on Array and on the face, and I want my attention there. So I'm growing that just like they're growing theirs. And so for the I think that's been the best strategy for us is that if I was trying to like bounce around to all three, I would be a mess and there would I would be causing all kinds of problems probably. So just focus on what you can focus on, get people to focus on those other things, or don't start those other things unless that's your plan, because you're just going to be doing five different things not that well, right? So okay. I would say, hey, if I'm going to start another company, who's going to run it for me? Because it can't be you, because your main company that you ran will start to suffer. And then you go back to that, try to fix it, and then you go back and forth, and you're not going to really accomplish anything.
What do you have a long-term plan that you've whiteboarded out here to sell all this stuff someday? Or is this, hey, for now, this is a lifestyle business and, you know, it's good to go. Maybe some other people run it and I'll just take my quarterly checks and it's good to go. Or what, you know, what are you thinking?
Well, I was on here today to pitch it to you. I was going to sell it to you right here live. No, master plan. I mean, my personal podcast that I had with my partner for years was called Journey to $100 million.
Okay.
Because that was our that's our vision. That's our goal, is to have a portfolio of agencies that generate $100 million per year.
All right.
And so that's still the goal. And obviously selling or acquiring, we've actually acquired one agency. We and rolled it into some, so there'll be more of that probably. But the goal is to sell at some point. And the thing is, where we've done these different entities, we can sell Rival or we can sell Crush, and we're going to start another agency before the end of this year. So before,
what is that? And what is that?
I don't know yet. That's the fun part. One thought is a podcast agency where we do podcasts for other, like you would hire us do your podcast, produce it, market it, distribute it. You just show up and record.
I see.
Tons. Gotcha. I've gotten tons of potential clients for that ask me, hey, can we hire you to do this? We've gotten it a lot. So it's that's an opportunity. Or a branding agency, because we don't really do that here. And that can service all the agencies, right? So I don't know yet. That's my partner, Eric, who's the CEO technically of Array. He's moved out of Array and now he's over top all three. And so he's looking at strategies for growing each one. He's supporting the presidents. And then he's looking at the next opportunities. We're also taking one of our admin staff, who's been like awesome here, Madison from Colorado. She is moving into a future role of just assessing the next industry niche and strategies, acquisitions.
Okay.
And we're going to have like a position for that exactly. And then she'll have a team that actually stands up the new companies, framework, processes, hiring, plugging it all in so that we can be up and running as fast as possible with that and do an agency every year.
Have you and Eric bootstrapped this thing from the beginning? Have you ever taken on any outside cash or no?
Never.
That's great.
No. Yep. No. Nothing. I mean, I think we did back in COVID. We did get one of the SBA loans just because it was interest, and we were like, well, you never know.
Yep.
We never used a dollar of it, and we never needed a dollar of it, and we basically paid it all back, I think. So
have you ever thought about raising cash to get to the 100 million in revenue faster?
So we've thought about it. So we have, well, right now we're at a 6.1 million run rate for the three.
Okay.
We have a lot of cash, to be honest with you. But to your point, you can raise money and get there quicker. That's an option. We do have a couple of ends with some private equity companies that we're doing work for. So like the HVAC market.
Yep.
We have two different private equity companies that own a book of HVAC contractors, and they use us for all their work for the digital marketing. So
Yep.
We've had talks with them, and they're interested to do anything we want. Write us a check, partnership, bias, any and all above, because they've seen our work for the last year or two, and we've helped all their HVAC companies grow.
Gotcha.
So they're like, hey, we like you guys. We're interested to do anything. If you want to start a dental agency, if you want to start a, and they're giving us what they would like to see us do.
I see.
Or they'll say, we'll invest in you. So, you know, there's definitely opportunities for that. We definitely like that there's no one else involved at this point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's nice to have those conversations, and it's nice to know that that's there if you ever needed to go down that path. But boy, owning, you know, you and Eric owning 100% of the cap table, there's something about that that's nice. I mean, it's really, you know.
Yeah. And can we do it ourselves? And I think, and if we think we can, and we're still growing and they're all growing.
Yep.
Okay. Then why bring that in? And again, unless we want to like jump to it in a year or two.
Yep. You know, we've had, I don't know, over 400 entrepreneurs on the podcast now for RiderFlex. And I don't know the exact stat on this, but I'm going to just take a guess. I would say at least half the time, it's probably at least 50% of the time, if they have taken cash from a VC or a PE firm, at least half the time they wish they hadn't. Now, there's plenty of success stories too, right? There are plenty of people that come on and say it worked out great, but at least half the time they're like, holy shit, man, I wish I'd never done it, you know? So, you know, you just never know. You never know.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard some of those stories, and, I don't want to have to do that. And I think,
yeah.
And you're not doing your own thing. I think if you have something startup that you start up really quickly and it takes off, and you bring in money because you got product to move, and that means you could get to this another stage or go out of business. I think there's a lot of those situations where you just need that capital to even produce the product that you need.
Sure.
In our case, we feel like we got this, and that's kind of almost part of our journey to figure it out versus, hey, we had 100 million, but of course, when we sell, we don't even get close to that because
exactly.
We don't own all this. So
exactly. And, you know, the other last thing on that topic, then we can move away from it, is it's one thing to take some PE money and still have more than 51% of the cap table. When you give up, mm-hmm. when you move to 49% or less, really at that point, you are technically an employee. You have just stepped into being an employee, because at that point you are no longer really in control. Not if the shit hits the fan,
yeah,
you're no longer in control. And that's the game changer.
Yeah, and I would be a terrible employee. anywhere, I would be fired. My business partner, I think he would too. And you know, and most of the times I've heard people that do that, it's like they're like, yeah, okay, let's go, and then like within a year or two they're out.
They're out.
Either A, they didn't like it.
Yep.
They didn't like it, or they were kind of forced out.
One of the two. I know, and I bet that stat is probably 80-85%. A year or two, they're gone. Yeah, they just can't.
And guess what? Half the, obviously, I don't know any stats on this. I'm gonna make up. 80% of the stats are made up on the spot.
Yeah.
most of those that I have known too, they start the same business they had all over again.
Yes. Right.
And then they start from the bottom.
Yeah.
And then
it's
they're
the thrill,
they're,
it's the journey, right? I mean, you got to make a certain amount of money to be happy, but it's the journey, right? I you know.
It's accomplishing something. I mean, it's.
Yes.
It's just like, that's the secret to like happiness, is accomplishing something. So that's if you go out in your workshop and you fix something, and you're like, boom, I fixed this. I knew how to do that. I can do that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of that over long periods of your life is what it's all about. So whether it's small or big, if you're sitting around on like a weekend, you're just like, you feel kind of like shitty, or you're like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I just, you know, I know I should just sit around and watch TV, or I should do this. And then you get up and start doing stuff anyway, because you can't do it. Sometimes.
Me and you get up and do stuff. A lot of people will sit and do nothing, which I can't do that. I can't do that.
Or you just feel bad about it when you do.
I just can't do it. Yeah,
for some reason.
I can't do it.
Well,
I'm
it's just like you go camping.
yeah.
Camping,
What's that?
you're constantly doing
Yeah,
stuff.
constantly doing stuff. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I am. Yeah, if you're around me on the weekends, I'm doing something. I'm in the garage, I'm tinkering, I'm doing something with camping, I'm doing something. It is rare that you. Now, if it's after 5 p.m. and I feel like I've had a successful Saturday knocking out a bunch of stuff, and now I'm about to open up a beer and sit down on the back porch for a minute. Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Boom. Yeah, deserving. You
Yeah,
deserve it
right.
at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you
But
did nothing all day and then it's 5 o'clock.
I can't. I can't do that. I just wasn't built that way. I think my parents, my dad, I don't know. Yeah, no, I just wasn't built that way. Okay, before we run out of time, I want to talk about AI and the effect. How you think it might affect you? We can even go bigger. We could take it up to 30,000 feet and say, how do you think it's going to affect other businesses? You know, we're recording this on March 28th, 2024. AI is all the rave, right? So it's everywhere. It's crazy time.
Yeah.
And I do often think about my marketing friends a little bit because I know that you're going to be affected by it in some way. I'm not saying affected negatively, but it's going to affect how you do business or whatever, just like it's affecting me as a recruiter, right? The recruiters are affected. You're affected. So many of us in certain sectors. Well, shit, the whole planet's affected, really, quite honestly. I'm just
Unless you're in a
wondering if
tribe somewhere in the middle of
yeah,
nowhere,
right? Yeah.
still living off the land, they're good.
I mean, it is. I guess my first question is: can you even believe it? Like, can you believe we're here at this moment? It is kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it came about pretty quickly. I mean, obviously, some of the technology's been around, but now it's in our fingertips, you know, for anybody. And it'll never go away now because
Yep.
we have access.
No, it's not going anywhere. I don't think it's not going anywhere. It's here. Which I tell people, I'm like, look, this ain't going backwards. So you better figure out how to either embrace it, use it, partner with it, whatever, because you ain't stopping
No, it's, yeah, and so what things I see, obviously, general people, yeah, lots of positions will be affected by it. Of
Yes.
course. I'll
Yes.
get into the marketing side of it in a minute, I guess. But as you know, my wife's a recruiter, right?
Yep, I know.
So she's a recruiter, and I mean, it's going to affect a lot of folks because as businesses go, okay, how much can I automate? How much can I replace? Do I need someone to do this or that? And so a lot of mundane administrative jobs will go to the wayside
Yes.
to some degree.
Already is
But you'll
happening.
see,
Already is happening and will happen more aggressively. Yep.
yeah, as you know, things people to adopt stuff slowly. Like, I got law firm clients that are still, you know, 10 years behind. So, it not everyone's just going to jump on this stuff. But as time goes on, or new companies start, they'll start that way, right? Fresh young companies. A big old law firm isn't going to just switch everything over, but. So you'll have some time there, but you know what you're going to be hiring is people that know how to use AI and write the scripts, and so it'll create some new opportunities for people that adjust or learn new skills. But or you're going to have, like, you know, the trades, welding, HVAC, that kind of stuff. That's going to be the hot ticket again because
Yes,
you
totally
can't
agree.
be replaced by AI yet with
Yet.
those. Yeah, get a robot that can go weld, you know, maybe you're done. But
Yep.
those things will start to happen over time, right? And so right now, working with your hands will be your best opportunity if you're an admin or you're doing just mundane stuff and not working to excel and move up into leadership, you're going to be left behind.
Totally agree. Do you, how are you, without giving away all your secrets, how are you using it in your own agency to stay ahead and not be left behind or crushed by the competition? How are you working to embrace it so that you're not left behind, so to speak?
That's a good point. And we absolutely have to. So in my space in marketing, we do a lot of content, right? For copy, for SEO, for Google. And so a lot of people are starting to go, well, shit, I can just use AI to write the copy for me. Good for us. Google is absolutely cracking down on that and deranking and delisting websites completely that are using AI content. So if you're out there doing that, Google will not reward you for that. And it's actually doing the opposite. It's like, I want content that's helpful to the user, that's legible, that's readable, that's engaging, that has stories and experience only that the writer could write. AI can't generate. So one good news thing is that's good for us, because if Google just let us use AI content, that's a big part of our business that would be at risk. But we, you know, we can use AI to give us ideas, to write templates, to pull together a lot of the information that we're usually looking for to get started. And then you're just having a writer write the content itself. So AI, we can leverage to get things quickly, to build out ideas, to build out templates. You just have to have some human intervention and human oversight to make it effective. So we're leaning into the fact that, for one, we got to put out there that AI and the different challenges with it, how you should use it. We have to make sure our clients know, and we got to educate too, that these are the pitfalls if you do it, use AI, because our clients can just start saying, hey, I'm just going to quit with you guys and use AI. So we're going to run into that. So we're leaning more into it, and we're leaning more into like coaching and consulting and done with you type services as well, as only being a done for you service, because I think at some point that's where we need to go.
Okay.
So we're leaning to it as much as we can. That's all we could do, I guess.
Do you think when you hear these, lifting it up a little bit, I'm curious what your thoughts are from 30,000 feet. When you hear these stats, 40% of the population is probably going to be affected in some sort of either job loss or job transition. And, you know, people like Elon Musk are saying it's probably going to be the need for universal basic income, because there's just not going to be enough jobs. Do you worry about that? Do you think about that? Do you think, man, what kind of world are my kids going to live in?
I mean, 100%. I think the reality is you'll see these really big innovative companies do stuff like that, or be like, oh, we replaced all these people. But as far as when you get down to the small business level in America, you'll see that they're utilizing some of it, and they're going to be using some things to their advantage.
Okay.
But at the same time, I can't imagine if you went to a restaurant and it was just like, there's no people here and all AI.
I don't know. Have you been to McDonald's? You don't look like you eat McDonald's very much, but have you been to one? It's like, there's very few workers in there.
Sure. But I guess my point is that ain't going to work on every level. Like, I'm not going to go to like a nice local restaurant or Italian place. That's
the robot comes over.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is, I don't think you're ever going to lose that. I think you'll have a surge in it and people trying this stuff out. And then I think you'll see that the consumers are not showing up at some point. They're like, I don't want this. I think you'll have a shift back to, oh, we want authentic and we want real people. We want these, you know what I mean? I think you'll see a shift in that. And, you know, it's definitely going to be used, but I don't think overused. To some point, you're not going to like the service anymore.
Yeah.
And so I'll add this real quick for anyone listening. Especially if you're a candidate or you're looking for a job or a career, having a good personality, being able to talk to people, have a good conversation, be likable is what's going to set you apart from your skill. And just a resume or sitting behind a camera or not engaging with people. So if you can learn to figure that part out, and they're going to hire one person versus 10 because of AI, well, you have a better chance. Because people still like people, and they're going to hire people they like. And so if some of the jobs do disappear at a company, That's what, to me, it's the only thing that's going to stand apart. I only hire people that we like, that are good people, good humans. I don't give a crap about the skill. We can teach them that.
Yeah.
So you're still going to need those people. And again, I don't think it's going to go as far as you think it's going to go. I think at some point, consumers are not going to start. They're not going to show up at places. They're not going to engage with companies that are 100% automated.
I completely agree about the emotional intelligence or the EQ or the people skills, whatever definition you want to use.
Yeah, you know more technical stuff on that than me. I'm just saying,
you know,
engage. If you can't talk to someone or talk to people, like if you know my teenager they can't. I'm like, you guys gotta open up, talk to people. Have you know that's gonna set you apart. No one's hiring you because you can do this better than you anymore. You know,
that's right. So. Nobody's. Yeah, I completely agree. I've done some podcast episodes on this. The days of the cognitive ability or the super high IQ, okay, like you're getting hired because you're super smart and you, quote, know things that other people don't know. Okay, well, right now, ChatGPT knows more than you. Period. I don't care how smart you are.
Yeah. And then in an instant, boom, here you go.
In an instant. So all of a sudden, you know, it feels like it's all of a sudden. I know it hadn't been, but it feels all, you know, very quickly here, we've gotten to a point where now EQ and the people skills that you're talking about are super critical. And the assholes that are super smart with the high IQ, they're not getting hired because I don't need those guys anymore. Because I don't need him. I can ask ChatGPT anything, and it's going to give me the answer that Johnny could have gave me. I was like, I don't need Johnny if he's an asshole. Like, get lost, you know. So I totally agree. The people skills are going to be absolutely critical. And the other thing you touched on, backing up a little bit, is the trade skills. I firmly believe that. And I've done lots of episodes on this too. The white collar jobs, okay, the jobs where you're using cognitive ability and you're typing on a keyboard. Okay. I'm using my brain and I'm typing on a keyboard. Those jobs are in danger. And if you can't use your hands and work on HVAC, and if you can't do welding, you should be nervous. You should be a little bit nervous right now. Which, by the way, is why me and Scott, my partner, bought Cura Home Maintenance of Colorado. We opened up air duct cleaning and dryer vent cleaning. So we bought a maintenance company here.
There you go. All right. Sweet.
And
I didn't know that.
So we invested in that here. A guy was on the podcast. He owns it up in Minnesota, and we opened up the Colorado market.
Nice.
And I did that specifically because of what you're saying. I told Scott, I'm like, holy shit, man. Like, I don't know this.
Spread out your risk.
I mean, I like recruiting, but you know, it's gonna shrink. First of all, the lack of jobs means there's not as much hiring. And secondly, a lot of the recruiting can be done by AI. At least 80% of the first half of it can be done by AI. And so anyway, I just, you know, I'm like, damn, I don't know. Let's get into trade skills, because I'm with you. I think that's safer longer term, at least for now. Although, did you see the figure one robot clip on YouTube where the guy's asking it and he hands him the apple and puts the dish in the rack? Did you see that one?
I don't think I've seen that one. No. Yeah, send it to me.
But yeah, I just see the day.
I saw like there's like a new laser like welder. It's just like zzz, 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 like instantaneous, and it's a handheld, but it's still like welding's very hard, and you gotta freaking really know what you're doing. And it's just like snoop, done. I'm like, whoa, okay.
Dude, I know.
And perfect bead within seconds. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's not as strong. Maybe industrial wouldn't use it, but I was, you know, like, wow, I'd like to have one of those.
Here's the deal. We can wrap it up with this. I don't know where, I don't, it's hard to really predict how far it will go. I do think long-term we'll probably figure it out. Long term, whether it's universal basic income or everybody or all these new jobs get created or whatever, I think when the dust settles, we'll probably figure it out and be fine. But short term, I think it's going to be messy.
Yeah, I like I said,
I think it's going to be messy.
I think it's like this. I'm going to use an analogy here that I'm thinking of. It's kind of like foods. When foods come out with all this additives and high fat, you know, all this stuff to make food last
Last
longer and all
longer.
this other stuff and all this stuff. And then everyone just like, yeah, cool, whatever. Let's eat. And then it's like, wait a minute, this is not great. We don't want to do this anymore. And then it's like, we will all the way the opposite direction of if it's that, I don't want it. Or there are other things like that, like where we adopted it and then we're like, no. And so then what you start doing, we don't have this. We're not this. We don't have added sugars. We don't have this.
Gotcha.
Everything to this date has all, and that's what you buy. You go, oh, that's all natural. I'm going to take that. And so
I
what I think
got
you're
you.
going to see is,
Okay.
hey, come to our business where we have real people who care about you and your, and that's what you're going to
Exactly.
see.
Yeah, I like that. I
And
like
so you're
that.
going to start to see a lot of businesses going that direction,
With their marketing,
especially
for sure.
small
That's good.
towns, hometowns across the country. You're not going to have all this adoption like that. I think you're going to see the opposite. But again,
Hope
I
you're
think
right.
you'll have a shift in the mess, like you're saying, and then you'll have this like
I see. Yeah,
opposite
that's good.
effect.
I can see that. I agree. I think you're probably right. Yeah, it's probably a good outlook.
I see that already now. Like I know companies that use like automated chatbots and automated LinkedIn messages and all and I it's terrible. It doesn't work,
It's terrible.
and no one likes it, and
No one
so
likes
they push back against it. And
You're right.
so for me, like my web chat is a real person, and
That's cool.
I sell that to my clients. Say, hey, there's a real person that actually can ask real questions, and the user on the other end probably thinks. And I've interviewed a couple prospects that have used my chat, and like, yeah, I just figured it was the automated chat. Until I could tell based on what they were saying that it was not automated.
And by the way, for the
And
listeners,
they felt better about it at that point.
this is a great way to wrap this up. Array Digital, I'm gonna have the website up right now, and the little chatbot screen is up on my screen, and it says a live real person is available 24/7. I love
There you
that. I
go.
love that. I love that, Kevin.
So I think that's what you're going to see. Saying, hey, we're not artificial intelligence. We're not automated. We
Gotcha.
have real people ready to help you. And I think that's what you're going to see promoted more on all these types of businesses, you know.
Well, my friend, great catching up. Great catching up. Really admire
Absolutely.
everything you and your partner have done. Congratulations on everything you've built. And next time you're in Colorado, especially if you come in the summer,
Oh, okay.
I got a little cabin up in Wyoming, right across the border, that we can do some dispersed camping and ride some ATVs, drink some beers,
I love that,
bourbon,
man.
your
But I just need
bourbon. I know you're a bourbon guy.
bourbon guy. Well, it sounds like I need
And
to plan that anyway. I just booked my trip to Breckenridge for January with the family.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, so that's my only Colorado trip planned at the moment is Breckenridge next January.
Okay. All right. Well, if you come in the
So,
summer, though, we'll catch up.
yeah.
Appreciate you, sir. Thanks for being on the show again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for sharing. I think we, you know, interesting conversation, and
Yeah.
a lot of these things we got to be talking about, thinking about, because it's here. So.
It's here. It's here.